And but it's in a heart, and it's in following the scripture, and I pray that God bears witness of that today. Let's begin here in verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And, well, look at verse 1 with me. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And so Paul's ministry, large scope, a lot of churches, a lot of people, and then to write most of the New Testament. You come down through there, and he's talking about the word, he's talking about the opposition to the word, and we come to verse 13, so we'll begin reading there. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound or contribute to or result in the glory of God. That's preeminent, the glory of God. Whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Boy, there's a lot in that text, and we'll see what God has for us. Let's pray. Lord, we ask your blessing now. We ask for your help. As our brother has prayed, that you would open our hearts and you would put the seed in that we need today. May our hearts be tender, receptive. May you do a great work in each of us. Thank you that we have the Bible. And may it be so precious to us today. Help us as we preach and hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Therefore have I spoken. This same text is in Psalm 116, so he's quoting that or that reference. Have you ever heard it said, you're all walk and no talk? Or your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks? Or Susie sells, she sells seashells by the seashore. But I mean, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Actions speak louder than words, right? Here's one, it's an old one. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but all mouth and no trousers. All mouth and no, way goes way back. My great-great-great-great-grandfather heard that one. All walk, all talk and no trousers. In other words, there's no activity or no walk connected with it. Put your money where your mouth is, right? But how about a man of his word? Isn't that a wonderful thing today? If you meet somebody who says they're going to do something and then they do it, they're a man of their word. Max Lucado says, don't miss this. Attention, everyone. God keeps his word. God does. God does what he says he will do. All the promises in him are yea and amen. So we know whatever God says he will do. And this is interesting. What God does is what he says. So if you read what he says in the book, you know he's doing that or going to do that, depending whether it's prophecy, whether it's history, whether it's today helping you. In Mark 14:49, the scriptures must be fulfilled. 1 Corinthians 15:3, speaking about the resurrection. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It was promised, it was prophesied, and it came to pass. And we have that so many times in the Bible. John 10:35, and the scripture cannot be broken. I don't know if anybody's ever broken a promise to you. Sometimes it's small, you know, like I'll be there at 5 and they come at 5 after. I promise you, I'll be there early and they come late, you know. That doesn't irritate you, right? No? But, and there are major promises that are broken, major promises that really affect the heart, really affect the life. God will never break a promise. He's not a promise breaker, he's a promise keeper. The Bible is the word of God, and we shouldn't have to defend that or make any other statements about that today. We're all believers, and we're here to hear the Word of God. So we approach the message, the preaching today, with faith and a firm belief that the Bible is God's Word. Boy, that's preeminent. The Bible says, Thy Word is truth, Thy Word is a light unto my path, Thy Word is a discerner, the thoughts and intents of my heart. The Word is everything, and there's so many more verses. It's impossible for God to lie. I talked to a counselor one time, and he told me, he said, we are always in error, only to what degree and where. Nobody gets everything right. Amen. And if you think you get everything right, maybe this message will help you. Amen. But we're always in error, only to what degree and where. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. So many verses about that. The word cleanses, comforts, convicts, convinces, corrects. It's a treasure. It is a treasure. Now, when you hear my words today and my stories, you can choose whether to believe them or not, depending on the faith you have in my truth-telling or my ability to remember details. Right? Well, I just talked to you. That's not what I told you. Yeah. But that means nothing. Amen? Because thoughts fly away. But you can choose. If I tell a story, well, I believe that. I don't believe it. I think he's embellishing that a little bit. You know, I don't think it was quite like that. But when God says something, that's a whole different ballgame. Amen? Like last week, we had really good macaroni salad, coleslaw. And would you believe I made the coleslaw? See, so you have that choice. But if God says, I will do this, there's no question to it. Amen? That's what's so wonderful about the Bible, so amazing about the Bible. It does something in our heart. It does something in our life. You're clean through the word, which I've spoken unto you. I'll expound on that in a little bit. If it's me, this service is no big deal. You know, it could be entertainment to you. It could be, well, there's not enough jokes or there's not enough interesting. You know, I lost my interest in the first 5 minutes. That could happen with my preaching, my ability. But when God says something, just think about that for a minute. God, down through the ages, thy word is settled forever in heaven, before the foundations of the earth. Here's the word. And so we have this book, and it's exactly what God wants us to have. Now, isn't that amazing? And so we put our faith and we put our trust in that, and all the promises and all the things that God can do just because of his word. You're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And it's such an important book that the Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And so you go to Hebrews. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And I could go on and on and on. And the Bible, when you pick that book up and read it and you study it, it does something, I was going to say magical, but I can say that. It's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. Amen? But if it's just me, it's, yeah, let me find another church where they're a little more exciting, you know. But if it's God and it's the word, boy, that's a real blessing for us. Psalm 62:11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth to God. When God says something one time, it's powerful. If he says it twice, think of that. When he wants to reiterate something or make sure we get it, we often speak and say nothing. You can talk for a long time and don't say a thing, you know. But God says something once, and it's very, very, very important. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. It's so important because that word keeps us. That word ministers to us. That word directs us and guides us. There's a song, Sing Them Over Again to Me, Wonderful Words of Life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. And I forgot the rest, but Richard knows that, right? Richard? Okay, yeah, okay. In Jeremiah, you don't have to turn there, but I want to read a couple of verses to you. This is Jeremiah 35. And I want to begin in verse 12. And think of this application, because God, through the prophet Jeremiah, uses this picture, this story, to speak to the nation of Israel, actually to correct them. But it says, verse 12, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord?" God is saying, I'm speaking to you. Will you not receive my instruction? "The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab," this is talking about the Rechabites, "that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed." Here's a man, and he tells his sons and his grandsons and down through history, don't drink wine. And here's the answer. And it says, "For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not to me." He's saying, here's an earthly man that told his sons an earthly thing to do. But I am Almighty God, and I am telling you as a nation what to do. And you have listened in this circumstance, but you won't hear me. That's what he's saying to the nation of Israel. Boy, that really puts it in perspective. Amen? We listen to our boss. We listen to our parents. We listen to our children, you know. And we listen to other people because that's advantageous, maybe, to listen. But God, boy, think of the weight of that statement. In John 15:3, "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." That's amazing. David had sinned. He's coming back to God. He's confessing his sin. And he says, "God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me," right? "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. But create in me a clean heart. Change my heart, O God." That's the song today. Change my heart, O God. And God does that through his word. "You're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." And so it's a blessing to know that. We have John, well, in Ephesians 5, I believe it is, and Colossians 3. The filling of the Spirit is really the filling of the Word. They both produce the same results. If you're filled with the Spirit, there's thanksgiving, there's songs, there's praise, there's this, there's that. And the same thing with the filling of the Word. Be filled with the Word in Colossians. And that's how we cleanse ourselves. You're clean through the word. We have John 13 or 15, 16. Let's try that one. 33. "These things have I spoken unto you," Jesus says, "that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." So he says, I can give you peace. You know how many verses are in the Bible about peace? I have no peace. Doesn't it make sense that we ought to run to the scriptures when we don't have peace instead of run away from them? Doesn't that make sense? And sometimes you'll get discouraged, or I'll get discouraged, and rather than pick up the Bible, we begin to worry. Rather than quote the scripture, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So here comes the worry, here comes the disappointment, here comes maybe the wrong action or response, but the word is hidden in there. And God makes a way to escape through that word. We have Hebrews 13:7. "Remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Let me just say that I believe what I'm preaching today. I believe the Bible is the word of God. I don't always obey all of it. Amen? I try, but I'm made of flesh, just like you. It's the works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit. But I believe it's true. I believe it's right. It's not my way, it's God's way. If there's an argument with God, if he says something clear and plain, I defer. Amen? I mean, because he's Almighty God. What I preach to you today, I preach that you might be clean. I preach that you might have peace. I preach that your joy might be full, because that's what the Bible does. I use a lot of Bible because I'd rather tell you what God's saying, amen, rather than what I'm saying. And I'll use my illustrations to support that. But you can have joy, you can be clean, you can have peace in your heart. 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. The Apostle Paul told a young preacher who he was helping, young Timothy, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And he went on. But he told him to preach the word. And then he told him to be an example of that word. We'll look at that verse in a little bit. And so Timothy was that. And here's what Paul preached. He always preached to exalt Christ. I don't want anything known but Christ. I am weak, but Christ is the answer. And that's what the theme of his preaching always was. 1 Corinthians 1:23, we preach Christ crucified. That's the gospel, amen? He died for our sins. So that ought to be in the message. That ought to be when we preach the Bible. We talk about our salvation. 2 Corinthians 4:5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So he's preaching that we ought to serve the Lord and serve one another. You have Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, speaking of Christ, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or complete in Christ. Christ crucified, servants for Jesus' sake, a desire for holiness and purity. That's a whole counsel of God. Well, I know about this one. I don't like to hear about this one. I want to hear about this one. And so we come to church and you're just hoping that I'm on the same page as you. Amen? Boy, that was a great sermon. This one, not so much, you know. But it's the whole counsel of God. It's go home today if you have kids and say, what would you like for dinner? You want candy and cake or you want chicken? Well, maybe they'd say chicken, but probably candy and cake, right? They would choose that. When we come to church, there's things I would rather preach sometimes, amen, that I know are well-received sermons. I've been out and I preached in a lot of churches in my time, and they call them sugar sticks, where a preacher will come in and he'll preach a message that he's preached before, and he knows the responses he will get. But sometimes God says, that's not the one I want for them. Use your pretzel stick. And you use your pretzel stick, and nobody's impressed, but you didn't go to be impressing people, right? You went so God could speak to people. And if 99 out of 100 didn't get it, but God focused in on one person, you accomplished what you needed to accomplish. Amen? So the Bible is the Word of God, and we have to be very careful when we preach it, teach it, share it, or hear it, amen, because it is the message of the hour. So God is saying that. Therefore have I spoken. The ministry, understand what I'm saying, is motivational. And Peter, it says, add to your faith virtue, virtue, temperance, temperance, meekness, meekness, this, that, the other thing, brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things are in you, you'll never fall. And then we come down a little bit, and 2 Peter 1:13, Peter says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of these things. I want to stir you up. There are people with different personalities. There are people that are excitable, and there are people that it wouldn't matter what you did, they're not going to get excited. And you'd have to wake them up first anyway, you know. I preached in Canada, and they're real stoic and, you know, real like this, and I preached in Mexico, and I need to move to Mexico, amen? That's what I thought every time I'd preach there. I mean, they were just grabbing onto everything, but people are different. It doesn't make you better or worse, but to be stirred up in the heart, amen? To be stirred up by putting people in remembrance of God's word, God's truth, God's promises, what God has done for them, and so you rehearse those things. They're wonderful. The ministry is devotional. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is all for the glory of God. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that it may redound, that it may reflect, that it may abound in the glory of God. So that's what we want to do. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, so it glorifies God. I think that's important. Years ago, I don't know how long, I've read about this. I've never seen this or experienced this with this title. But they used to say that Sunday morning was a call to worship. Does anybody remember that? I don't know if you remember that. You remember that, Paul? They would call the service a call to worship. And people would come in and they would worship. And the only thing that I found close to that when we would do missions work in Romania, in most of the churches we were in, they would come in ahead of time and they would just sit. Sometimes the men on one side, sometimes the women on the other side, sometimes not, they would be mixed. But they would just come in maybe a half hour early and they'd pray to themselves. They'd just sit there with their heads bowed and praying for that service. And man, you can have some services like that. But it was a call to worship. It was all for the glory of God. The ministry is devotional. The ministry is motivational, but the ministry is sacrificial. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, perfect will of God. So we present our bodies a living sacrifice. So the ministry produces that. I believe, therefore, have I spoken. Now, this is all God's word. This is not what I'm trying to say. I'm just telling you what he says. In 2 Timothy 4:3, Paul told Timothy, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Remember, in the parable of the seed and the sower, the lust choked the word, the lust of other things, desire for other things. Choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And he's talking about this. And it says, and he shall turn away their ears from they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He's telling Timothy that. You have to do this work, no matter what the result is. People close their mind, close their ears. Don't listen. Don't practice. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. No, I'm just going to be a hearer. And there's nothing that anybody can do about that but God. Amen? But it is God's instruction to us. When we come to the book of Revelation, there are seven churches mentioned there. Literal, local churches, and I believe also church ages, and you can follow that down through history. But at the end of every church, it starts with Ephesus and it goes down and it ends with Laodicea. But at the end of every message to that church, it says this, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then you go to the next church. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so it says churches. So it's perpetual. You know, it started here, but it keeps on going. And so that's what I say today. Don't hear what I say. Hear what God is saying to the churches. Because it's the Spirit. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And this is the last message for the church age, I believe. And there are some on fire Christians, and say, how do you know they're on fire? Not out here, in here. And of course it produces something, but the fire is in here. It's not a form of godliness, and it's not a show. It's just something that goes on in here. This is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This is Christ speaking. It says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee. Boy, what a blessing. If you've ever been to a counselor, it's not free, right? You go and they tell you, and you can get wrong counsel from a counselor. And it's like eating fish. You eat the meat and spit out the bones, you know, because nobody's infallible but the Lord and his word. But anyway, it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Okay, here's a promise. God says, I'm going to knock on your heart's door. If you hear my voice and you open the door and invite me in, I will come in. You don't have to beg him in. You just open the door. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. That's a chorus that is sung. And we just ask God to come in. God, I need you. I've got to have you. Guide my life. Show me. He will show you because he promises that. We have a doctrinal statement here as a church. Some people have probably never read it. If you are out and about and somebody says, what's your church believe? Or what do you believe? Well, I believe what my church believes. Well, what's your church believe? Well, there's a doctrinal statement. I've never read it, but I believe what the church believes. I mean, it ought to be close. Amen. Ought to be close. But I'm not talking about a doctrinal statement today. I'm talking about a devotional statement. The letter of the law killeth. It's the Spirit that gives life. It gives life. So when we're filled with the Spirit, we're filled with abundant life. And that is a blessing to have that. Second Chronicles, this is our devotional statement. Second Chronicles 7:14, you know the verse, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. So it's a promise. God makes a promise. You have 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. God is just looking for somebody to want him to be a testimony for him so he can show himself strong to other people. We all have a testimony. You have Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. That's who he's close to. If you have a broken heart, he wants to mend the broken heart. It says that. That's what he came to do. He came to mend the brokenhearted or heal the brokenhearted. In Psalm 51, verse 17, after David got right with the Lord, the Bible says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And God won't despise that. Well, I've done it a million times. Yeah, rising up, we fall again. Rising up, we fall again. But God's always there. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So, we pray and we ask God, right? And God makes a promise to us. And he will show us the results of our prayers if we just trust him. The Bible's good news from a far country. In Luke 23, there's a story there about the thief on the cross. Actually, there's two thieves, and Christ is being crucified between them. And the one thief who has mocked God, Christ, prior to that, finally sees the truth. And he says to Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He had mocked him. Now he's saying, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He's going to die. He's seen some miracles here. And Jesus said this, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Wow. Wonder what emotion, what experience that thief had. Because he believed, that's why he asked the question. And then Jesus gave him a response. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I don't deserve it. I have no idea. I've never been taught it. Nothing. Nothing connects here but the word. And this thief didn't care what the other thief had said. He didn't care what the mocking crowd had said. He didn't care what the Pharisees or the priests or anybody else, the soldiers, he didn't care what anybody was saying. You know, come down now from the cross if you're the Son of God. He didn't care about any of that. He didn't care about what the governor said. He heard what Jesus said. Amen? And that's all he needed. And I'm telling you, he went to be with the Lord because Jesus had made a promise. In the scriptures, in Matthew 27, Jesus is on trial. In verse 12, the chief priests are there and they're accusing him. And the Bible says he gave them no answer. Same chapter, verse 14, Pilate is speaking to him. And it says he answered Pilate not a word. Man, here's a thief on a cross. And he asks something, and God responds and gives him a promise. And here's the leader of that area, the governor, and here's the religious crowd, and they can't get an answer from Jesus Christ. If you go to this book and you're sincere, you'll get some answers. You'll get some answers about joy, about peace, about responsibilities, about how you can glorify God. You'll get answers about purity and holiness. You'll get all the answers in here if you go sincerely. He that cometh to God, listen to it, must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Knock. He's knocking. All you have to do is open up. Amen? Everybody here has a Bible. Maybe more than one. All we have to do is look in that book. Pilate asked the crowd, he said, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? He's asking the crowd. He's tuned in to what the world would say. He's tuned in to what's going to affect his life. But the thief didn't care what the world said. He just cared what Jesus said. And so he's asking the world, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And the world responded, and the religious crowds responded, crucify him. Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. He's a liar. And that's exactly what Pilate did. Then he tried to wash his hands, but you can't wash that off. All the fitness he requireth is to fill your need of him. That's all it is. That book will come alive. He'll speak to you every day. And if you hide it in your heart, it'll go with you. This is the way, walk ye in it. It's everything. Amen? God gave us this book. We hang our hats, so to speak, on the promises of God. We put our faith and trust in it. And one day, life will be over. Amen? Here's a good verse. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's a good verse. How do you get that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a promise. Amen? You tell the Lord, I've sinned against you. I believe you're the Son of God. I ask you to be my Savior. And he says, you'll be saved. That's a promise. I don't know how this went today. I just know that's the message that God wanted me to preach. Maybe it was exciting. Maybe it wasn't exciting. Maybe your mind kind of wandered. Maybe it didn't. Maybe God met a need today. All I know, it's the message he wanted today. Please heed God's word. Please heed God's word. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we love you. We so appreciate you sending Jesus to be our Savior. We believe that, Lord. And we believe it simply because you said it. We don't have to understand all there is connected with it. You said great is the mystery of godliness, and it is a great mystery. But you said if we received your Son as our Savior, we would have a home in heaven. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And Father, we believe that because it's in your word. May we also believe, Lord, not only the verses of salvation, but the verses that tell us about comfort, grace, strength, help, all the needs that we have. May you be glorified because of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's